This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. Good morning on the 28th of July, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. We have the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. CJ Miller checks in with the news today, including the ISDA director's reaction to USDA locating in Indianapolis as a regional hub, and a preview of something new called Co-op Classic coming in August. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast: oppressive humidity, record dew points possible. And on Friday, corn, beans, and wheat going into the weekend sold off. Brian Basting has analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
The Hoppert Institute for Agricultural Studies at Huntington University is proud to support the NETCAP Annual Conference on August 6th at New Hope Christian Church in Whitestown, hosted by AgriStewards. NETCAP is the network of Christian agricultural professionals, and they invite farmers and those in agribusiness and ag industry to come and learn about ministry opportunities and spreading the gospel through increased food production. There will be multiple learning sessions along with a time to interact and network with other ag professionals. Additionally, Huntington University faculty and staff will be present, so you can learn more about their recently launched master's degree and certificate in international agriculture. For information and to register, visit agristewards.org/events. That's agristewards.org/events. For the NETCAP Annual Conference, August 6th at New Hope Christian Church, Whitestown.
Indianapolis will soon be a new home for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and a big event coming to Newcastle August 12th. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Indiana State Fair, happening August 1st through the 17th. Find advanced discount deals and daily ways to save on admission, parking, and the midway online at indianastatefair.com. Well, the city of Indianapolis has been selected by USDA to be one of five regional hub locations.
Can't really think of this for Indiana as anything but a win-win.
And that's Don Lamb, director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. The move is part of a reorganization of the agency to bring USDA closer to its customers and eliminate management layers and bureaucracy.
And I'm just really proud of Indiana, proud that we were chosen as one of the spots. I think it's just a testament really to what I always call Team Ag Indiana. You know, when I think about our commodity groups and the different folks that really help with agriculture along with our farmers, it just shows we've got a strong presence, you know, really across the country in agriculture.
Lamb was part of a team of Indiana ag leaders who recently met with U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins in Washington, D.C. to make that winning pitch on why Indiana and the city of Indianapolis would make such an outstanding home for USDA.
We heard that rumor. Okay, what if the USDA were to move out some folks across the country? Why wouldn't we want to be part of that? And we did form a group that started just thinking about that. Well, if that's going to happen, let's make a pitch for Indiana. Now we look back on and think, well, that was worth it. Because at the time, we didn't know if it was, you know, is this worth this effort or not? And now we look back on it and say, boy, I'm glad we did that.
Even though USDA hasn't said where the new hub will be located or which offices and staff positions will be moving to Indy, Lamb says one thing is clear.
We do know that it will be an advantage to have a government agency like the USDA here, and it'll just make it more efficient for communication. You know, we're going to have the opportunity to be really maybe on the cutting edge of some things that we might be able to do because of that connection locally. It's just going to provide a lot of opportunities for us.
Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. If you're a farmer owner of Keystone Cooperative, or you're considering becoming one, then check out their Co-op Classic in Newcastle coming up on Tuesday, August 12th.
The day will be full of great information for our farmer members.
And that's Amy Kinsler, Chief Experience Officer with Keystone Cooperative, who invites you to their special event.
Co-op Classic is really an event that Keystone has put together to help bring as much information as we can to our farmer members and make sure that we're bringing relevant information, we're bringing innovative information, we're bringing agronomic information so that we can give that customer all the information they need as they prepare for harvest, as they get ready, you know, to start making decisions for the 26th season, which hard to believe, but already certainly is on our radar.
She says that Co-op Classic will help you to learn and find value for every part of your farm operation.
We'll have over 25 speakers to talk about policies and government regulations. And even we've got some folks coming in that are just sharing input on what they do at their farms and how they really can help drive their business forward.
And one of the best parts about Co-op Classic, the event is free.
We'd love to see our farmer owners there. We'd love to see folks that are just interested in Keystone. We'd love to see them come as well. This is going to be a great place to be able to really experience all that Keystone has to offer.
Once again, Co-op Classic in Newcastle is August 12th at the Keystone Cooperative Mount Summit facility. Another Co-op Classic event is set for August 19th in Valparaiso. For more information and to sign up for these free events, visit KeystoneCoop.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Unfortunately, bringing you news of another oppressively humid day. Today is a day that we could see some areas of northeast Indiana, northwest Ohio, southern lower Michigan flirt with records for the highest dew point of all time. A large part of northern Indiana, northwest Ohio, southern lower Michigan could be seeing dew points pushing 76, 77, even toward 80 degrees. Record high dew points are generally in the lower 80s for these days coming forward. And it was set most recently back in about 2018. So we've done this before, but it's just not going to feel very nice at all. Our atmosphere is full of additional moisture. Now, I don't think that we're going to be seeing this ring out as massive amounts of shower and thunderstorm action, but, you know, in this kind of setup, it doesn't take much to squeeze out a shower here or there. Temperatures are warm, not as hot as last Thursday, but the heat indices may be very, very close to last Thursday because humidity values or dew points are higher here today than what we saw last Thursday. And Thursday was just plain old nasty. Now, I do have good news for you as well. By the time we get into the later part of the week, we see a massive change that's going to try and work in. But the humidity values stay high for not just today, for tomorrow, when we see some moisture push through the upper Midwest and kind of run out of steam on Lake Michigan. So I think we're dry in the Hoosier State for tomorrow. Overnight tomorrow night into Wednesday, I won't rule out on again, off again, scattered showers and storms, especially over the northern half of the state. But I'm not going to rule them out anywhere. See another round of moisture for Wednesday night through Thursday. This finally is with a frontal boundary that's sagging south southward through the Great Lakes. Behind it, significantly colder air and significantly lower relative humidity values. Quite comfortable is the way I want to play Thursday and Friday at this point. I don't think we see a lot of additional moisture on Thursday, but I won't rule out hit and miss showers. Friday is completely dry and sunny as high pressure parks right over the Great Lakes to finish the week. That high goes there through the weekend as well, Saturday and Sunday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, new month, but it's going to feel much different. Can it last long term? Absolutely not. I think that we see warm air starting to come back in as we move through next week. The 4th and 5th starting to see warmer air come up from the southwest. Humidity values climb. Pop-up showers and thunderstorms are here again for Tuesday into early Wednesday. Then we're precipitation-free for the balance of Wednesday and Thursday before rain comes back next Friday the 8th and on into the following weekend off and on. So yeah, on the moisture side, we still have plenty of it coming through. Moisture totals out of this past round of precipitation going all the way back to last Thursday night have been solidly anywhere from a half to, in some cases, 3+ inches. We're going to see a little bit more this week before we dry down and cool off and moisture comes back. It's a great growing forecast for crops the way I'm seeing it right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, beans, wheat, all lower all throughout the Friday session. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubanks. Settlements coming up. We'll start, though, with market analysis. In mid-session, I checked in with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for that. Closing out the week, the markets are on a slide. Certainly, money flow this week has favored the stock market, Brian, and not so much grains and oil seeds. We do have weakness, plenty of things to talk about. One of those, though, is the money is just not flowing to the grains and oil seeds.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, I would agree with that. Right now, that there's quite a bit of interest, needless to say, with the stock market setting all-time highs there. At the other end of the spectrum, we're seeing favorable weather conditions, generally speaking, across the Midwest here as corn grows through pollination. Beans are setting pods and starting to fill pods now across the Midwest. And it just isn't a avenue for the investment money right now to be on the long side. Things can change. I'd remind your listeners going forward, weather can change, number one, first and foremost. We haven't made these crops yet. And number two, the variable of the trade deals going forward can still change the picture moving into 25, 26. But we're just over a month away, Andy, from technically starting the 25, 26 crop year on September 1st. So we're at the last month of the 24, 25 crop year.
Let's talk about trade. There's not enough to talk about as far as actual agreements, but we had Japan this week. Talk about that one and what the hopes are going into a new week as far as trade developments.
Yeah, trade is certainly a wild card. We're looking at China being the big unknown at the moment. Of course, China is the largest buyer of U.S. soybeans by far in the world of our customers. And that is going to be something the market pays very close attention to moving forward. The issues with the others are very important, too. I don't want to diminish the importance of the trade deal with Japan, for example. Japan is a very large and valuable trade partner, as well as some of the other countries looking at the August 1st deadline. However, the big one in terms of potential market movement moving forward in terms of changing the 25-26 balance sheet prospects has to be China, particularly when you're looking at soybeans. And as I mentioned, now we're just a little over a month away from starting the September, October, November quarter, and historically China takes quite a few soybeans from the U.S. I would say from the second week in October through the rest of the calendar year. Will that happen this year? So far they do not have a large book on for 25-26 yet. We're looking at a delay on their part, maybe just a combination of a delay with a trade deal and the fact that Brazil had such a large crop. But the USDA told us yesterday that China has not bought a single bushel of U.S. soybeans officially. Having said that, there's about 2.6 million tons in the unknown category, and that's close to 90 million bushels. So I don't want to say that China hasn't officially bought anything. Officially, they haven't, but they could come in there and buy some, or some of those unknowns could be transferred. But wrapping things up, I think we still have to keep an eye peeled on these trade deals, Andy.
Weather, if you could draw it up across the Corn Belt, what would be ideal at this point?
I think we're looking at the potential for an ideal weather pattern setting up at the tail end of next week. Now, this will be the last day or two of July, stretching into those first 2-3 days of August. It does look to be a very strong and large cold front dropping down, and certainly the crops would do better, particularly corn during pollination with cooler weather. I've heard varying levels of how much below normal we're going to see temperatures drop next week. But regardless, cooler temperatures would be ideal and some continued moisture here and there. As we speak here, it looks like we're getting some rainfall. to wrap up the week here. We'll see what the totals are when everything is said and done. But the ideal conditions would be cool with some moisture there. And we're at least going to get part of that equation toward the end of next week. Having said that, the market may be building that in here with the weakness that we're seeing and the lack of buying interest that you referenced earlier on, is that forecast now is pretty well clearing, becoming clear for the end of next week. It's going to be at least going to be very cool. And that's good, especially for corn during pollination.
From Advanced Trading, that is economist Brian Basting. His phone number, 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, down all day long, corn goes to 399.5, losing 2.25. Dease contract, 419, down 1.75. March also 1.75 lower at 436.5. And below $10 now on the August beans, finishing at 998.75, a nickel and a half drop. September 10.02 down 3.75. Novi 10.21 3.25 lower and 3.25 down on September wheat 5.38 1/4. Mixed in the meats, but the nearbys higher. August live cattle 226.47 up 67. August lean hogs 108.70 up $0.5. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.